countenance doth behold the upright. So as we begin a new year together, it seems like it's becoming many years for us, and the Lord has been faithful in proclaiming his, causing his gospel to be proclaimed and causing us to rejoice in the old, old story. I thought I'd go back to the foundations. And I wanted to look this morning at Luke chapter 1. I was going to read it, and then later on we'll go and look at the first Christian message of the gospel age. Zacharias's declaration of the gospel at the naming and circumcision of John the Baptist is the first Christian message that was publicly proclaimed. We're not saying for one moment that there wasn't a proclamation of Mary to Elizabeth and Elizabeth to Mary and the angels to Mary and the angel to Zacharias, but this was the first public proclamation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the first word, the first public word from God for 400 years. And it preceded the angelic host singing those glorious songs from heaven, and come from heaven at the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But one of the things that we need to re-establish again and again and again, and I trust that what Zechariah preaches is the heart and soul and the substance of the message that we preach week in and week out here, Lord willing. Well, I love how Luke begins. So let's turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 1. And let's start from verse 1. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. So this is a declaration of the apostolic testimony of who the Lord Jesus Christ is, surely believed among us. Even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus. Theophilus is the name of a man who we don't know a whole lot about, but we know what his name means. His name means lover of God, friend of God. And then he says in verse 4, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. That word certainty is the word safety. So here in this declaration of Luke, we have something that's certain. We have something that's surely believed among the apostles, and it's the place of safety for us. So this gospel declaration of Zacharias is a place of, there's something that is surely believed, and it's a place of safety. Our safety before God is in these declarations, wherein thou hast been instructed. So Luke is doing what we do in church over and over again. We just keep reminding people. And why do we have to keep reminding people? Because we keep forgetting all the time. We put you in remembrance. I want to be put in remembrance. I need to remember who the Lord Jesus Christ is and what he's done. So let's turn on to verse 5 and we'll read some of this history. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was the daughter of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And this is a lovely description of them, isn't it? They were both righteous before God. There is only one righteousness. They had the very righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet here they were in old age and in travail. They were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. Isn't that a lovely word? That's what the Lord Jesus Christ promises to do with us, doesn't it? He presents us blameless before in his sight. They were righteous and blameless, and they walked in the commandments and ordinances of the Lord. And they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they both now were well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, According to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of the incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God." You might recall that that is how the Old Testament finishes, that the hearts of the fathers will be turned to the children, the children, they'll be turned together as one to the Lord. "He shall go before him," before the Lord God, "in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zechariah said unto the angel, "Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years." And the angel answering said unto him, "I am Gabriel." Gabriel means God is my strength, "that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." And the people waited for Zacharias and marvelled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them, for they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men." And in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city, a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favoured, and the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favour with God." She's been graced. She's the recipient of grace. "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the 6th month with her." Elizabeth, who was called barren. And don't you love verse 37? "For with God nothing shall be impossible." Do you feel barren? "With God nothing shall be impossible." And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. What a lovely response to the promises of God. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into the city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the baby leapt in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed. For thou shalt be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Let's sing before Mary sings. Norm, thank you. We're going to sing number 31. Tell out my soul the greatness of the Lord. Unnumbered blessings give my spirit voice. Thank you. This is Mary's song. It's extraordinary, isn't it, how Mary's declaration, as she was filled with the Holy Spirit and sang this song, is so remarkably different from what is perceived of Mary by hundreds and hundreds of millions of people throughout this world. It's not as if God didn't know that Mary was going to be exalted by men to a place where, in some understandings of Catholicism, she's equivalent to the Lord Jesus Christ. She's co-redemptrix. Extraordinary, isn't it? Listen to what Mary says rather than what men say. Verse 46. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Saviour. Mary was a sinner in need of a Saviour. She rejoices in God, her Saviour. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with his arms. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. That's where we get the word image from, isn't it? We create images in our hearts. May God be an idol destroyer before us, so there will be one image, the true image of God. He, verse 52, he hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed for ever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbours and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass. Don't you love that expression? It's throughout the scriptures. It came to pass. What's the it that comes to pass? All of God's sovereign purposes. All of God's sovereign purposes. That on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, not so, but he shall be called John. And they said unto her, there is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, his name is John. And they marvelled all. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed. And he spake and praised God. And fear came on all that dwelt around about them, and all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, what manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. Now, isn't that extraordinary that when the Pharisees go from Jerusalem down to examine John the Baptist, all of this history had been known and reported and widely distributed for 30 long years. And yet when they went down there looking through their Pharisaical eyes, they looked upon John the Baptist and said, he's nothing. They looked upon the Lamb of God and said, he's nothing. And they went back to Jerusalem as empty of revelation of God as they did when they came down there. These people laid them up in their hearts, verse 66. What manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zacharias, in the midst of this crowd, and his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, and this is the first gospel sermon of this gospel age. It's a gospel sermon proclaimed before the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the gospel, came forth. But what a glorious, glorious foundation is laid here for all gospel preaching. And may the Lord cause us to go back to this passage again and again and again and read what the Holy Spirit had caused Zacharias after all those years of silence to say publicly. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. Zacharias had so much to say, didn't he? He could have said, I met the angel Gabriel in the temple. He could have said, we had in our old age the promise of a child to be born. He could have spoken so many things about the things that the Lord had done for him and with him. But out of his mouth, and I trust it comes out of our mouths again and again, and the first thing that comes out is, blessed be the Lord God of Israel. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. We take our eyes, Zacharias' eyes are taken completely off himself and his circumstances, and they're on the Lord, aren't they? Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Must realise this is before the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophet, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. That word serve is the same word that's translated worship in so many other places in the scriptures. We might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. And this is what it is to go before the face of the Lord and to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts until the day of his showing unto Israel. We might have a break there, but I just love the fact that the salvation that Zacharias is preaching of is a salvation that comes when the Lord visits his people. The Lord visits his people. He has visited and redeemed his people, verse 68. The day spring on high has visited us. What immeasurable eternal blessings are wrapped up in the visit of the Lord. Let's have a break.